From the beginning, however, it took on a life force of its own, and I became but a servant to its will. It refused to stay within the confines prescribed, and, like the genie released from its bottle, grew to enormous size. When the job was done, and it was possible to assess the entire manuscript, I was surprised to realize that 4 books had been written instead of 1. First, there is a crash course on money, the basics of banking and currency. Without that, it would be impossible to understand the fraud that now passes for acceptable practice within the banking system. Second, there is a book on how the world's central banks, the Federal Reserve being one of them, are catalysts for war. That is what puts real fire into the subject, because it shows that we are dealing not with mere money, but with blood, human suffering, and freedom itself. Third, there is a history of central banking in America. That is essential to a realization that the concept behind the Federal Reserve was tried 3 times before in America. We need to know that, and especially need to know why those institutions were eventually junked. Finally, there is an analysis of the Federal Reserve itself and its dismal record since 1913. This is probably the least important part of all, but it is the reason we are here. It is the least important not because the subject lacks significance, but because it has been written before by writers far more qualified and more skilled than I. As mentioned previously, however, those volumes generally have remained unread except by technical historians, and the creature has continued to dine upon its hapless victims. There are 7 discernible threads that are woven throughout the fabric of this study. They represent the reasons for abolition of the Federal Reserve System. When stated in their purest form, without embellishment or explanation, they sound absurd to the casual observer. It is the purpose of this book, however, to show that these statements are all too easy to substantiate. The Federal Reserve System should be abolished for the following reasons. It is incapable of accomplishing its stated objectives. Chapter 1. It is a cartel operating against the public interest. Chapter 3. It is the supreme instrument of usury. Chapter 10. It generates our most unfair tax. Chapter 10. It encourages war. Chapter 14. It destabilizes the economy. Chapter 23. It is an instrument of totalitarianism. Chapters 5 and 26. This is a story about limitless money and hidden global power. The good news is that it is as fascinating as any work of fiction could be, and this, I trust, will add both pleasure and excitement to the learning process. The bad news is that every detail of what follows is true. G. Edward Griffin. Acknowledgements. A writer who steals the work of another is called a plagiarist. One who takes from the works of many is called a researcher. That is a roundabout way of saying I am deeply indebted to the efforts of so many who have previously grappled this topic. It is impossible to acknowledge them except in footnote and bibliography. Without the cumulative product of their efforts, it would have taken a lifetime to pull together the material you are about to hear. In addition to the historical facts, however, there are numerous concepts which, to the best of my knowledge, are not to be found in prior literature. Primary among these are the formulation of certain natural laws, which, it seemed to me, were too important to leave buried beneath the factual data. You will easily recognize these and other editorial expressions as the singular product of my own perceptions, for which no one else can be held responsible. I would like to give special thanks to Miral Creer and Jim Toft for having first invited me to give a lecture on this subject and thus forcing me to delve into it at some depth, and to Herb Joyner for encouraging me, after the speech, to take it on the road. This book is the end result of a 7-year journey that began with those first steps. Wayne C. Ricker.